Annyeonghaseyo! Welcome to Afternoona Delight, where Leah, Megan, and Amy, romance novelists and your K-romance guides. So grab some dekboki and listen to your new favorite unease.
Hey, Megan.
Hello.
We both paused. We're like, wait, how do we start?
We said at the same time. We don't know what to do without Leah. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness. So yeah. Leah is off having fun with a college friend tonight, and we're happy for her, but we miss her. But that means that Megan and I get to talk about a drama that we were pushing off on our list because we were kind of waiting to see if Leah wanted to watch it. Now we're excited that we get to do Marry My Husband. So,
yeah. So Leah chose not to watch this one, which is fine. She is actually watching a bunch of stuff that, like, we're not watching, yeah. Which is we always like, because then I feel like we get a good mix of what we can talk about on our podcast.
Yeah, none of us are watching the same thing right now, which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah, what are you watching right now?
I'm watching Twinkling Watermelon, and I know that I've mentioned this before that I'm watching it, but, like, look, I'm going slow because I'm on deadline. I have a book due the end of this month, like, drafting-wise, and I have a book due editing-wise. So I have two books that I'm working on right now. And so I'm slowly watching Twinkling Watermelon, but I'm on episode 11, and I flipping love this drama. I think it was initially recommended for you, Megan, and I don't remember why.
It was. Sarah from Afternoona Asks told me to watch it. I think it was because one of the actors she knew I would like, and I don't know. She was just like, I think you'll like it.
Well, it's time travel, which we know that I love, and you love too. And I love the premise of it, an 18-year-old kid going back in time and reconnecting with his dad. It's so good. It's music. It's, you know, dealing with his parents when he's a teenager. He is a hearing child of deaf parents and also has a deaf brother. And he loves music, and he has secretly been learning to play guitar since he was a kid. And it's this sort of disconnect that he has when his father finds him playing in a band and, like, basically, like, you know, rips him a new one that, you know, he was supposed to be going to college. Mm-hmm. This is the older son. He has high hopes for him and whatever. Mm-hmm. And they have this big blowout, and he finds this random music shop that he hasn't seen before called Viva La Vida. And goes inside to sell his guitar because he's like, I'm done with music. And he goes inside, sells guitar, and he gets paid for the guitar by this really eccentric music shop owner, walks outside, and he's in 1995.
Ah, I love it.
And yeah, realizes that, you know, connects with his dad, and that his dad at 18 could hear. Like, he thought his dad was born without the ability to hear like his mom was, and that wasn't the case. So now he's trying to figure out what happened to his dad to see if he can prevent it, and also trying to, like, it's like a mix of the movie Coda, which dealt with this this same situation. It was an Academy Award winning movie, Coda, and also, like, Back to the Future, because, like, trying to make sure that his parents get together because his dad has a crush on someone else. So it's really super fun. Some good twists. I know that you are not a high school. I'm trying to sell this to you, though. I know you're not a high school drama person, but it is not. There's nothing, like, squicky about it. There's no, like, 900-year-old goblin and a 20-year-old. Like, everybody is the proper age. And it's super sweet. It's super funny at times, very emotional at times. And I honestly have no, I'm at episode 11, and I have no idea how it's going to turn out. But I really, really like it. And I think that you and Leah would both like it. But I am okay with Leah taking a step back from our recommendations for a while.
I know.
Because we've been doing her dirty, I feel.
I have to be honest. I feel like we really have been doing her dirty. Everything we've been, like, recommending to her, she's just, like, not into. I feel bad. So, but I think, too, it's Twinkling Watermelon sounds a little bit like My Perfect Stranger, which was another time travel one that involved, like, the main characters interacting with parents, their parents when they were young. Which I did really like, and I think that was one of the reasons too.
That might have been it then, yeah.
Yeah, although My Perfect Stranger had, like, a murder mystery and, like, a prominent, like, murder.
There's no murder in this.
I was gonna say, is there murder?
There's no murder.
Okay.
There is no, like, it's
no and murder.
As I'm watching it, I'm like, you know, there's high concept in this, obviously, because of, you know, time travel. But it's like a quieter high concept, right? Because there is no murder mystery. There's, you know, it is very relationship based. But there's also like this big sort of culminating climax of what is the big accident that causes his father to lose his hearing, and should he prevent it, right?
Like, that's a kind of like a moral thing too.
It is.
Like,
it is.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, so like the conflict is fairly quiet, but like the episodes, I feel like the episodes are very high concept as far as like, you know, there's always something like big going on. There's always some good conflict in each episode. And gosh, the actors are just absolutely fantastic. I love them all so much.
Okay, so I was going to start Queen of Tears, and I'm still going
that
to start.
I am going to watch that for sure.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Why I'm the only reason I'm hesitating is because I know that as soon as I watch it, it's going to consume me because Kim Soo-hyun has a way of like taking over my
life. And Kim Ji-won.
And
like, what a combination.
I know. And Kim Ji-won, who's like one of my top favorite K-drama actresses. So I'm like, you know what I mean? I feel like I have to like brace myself to like just.
And did it drop all at once or is it two episodes a week? Okay.
I think it is. So I'm like kind of waiting maybe until like more episodes are out. I've heard great things. So just so you all know, like if you're listening, I hear you.
Yeah, no, all three of us want to watch it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I will. Okay. But I don't know if it was like on Instagram that maybe someone posted about Wedding Impossible. Maybe it was Sarah. I don't remember. Someone.
Okay, so you heard about it before you watched it. Sometimes you just find random shit that ends up being really good.
I do. And it's Wedding Impossible is airing like right now. I think 8 of 12 episodes are available. So
so it's a brand new one. Okay.
Yeah, it's a brand new one. And the main, the female lead is Jun Jong-sol. And she was the lead actress in Ballerina. And Ballerina was a movie that I watched like on an airplane. And she's in, like, I loved her in Ballerina. She had, there's something about her. I don't think to me she's like conventionally pretty, but she is highly attractive and sexy. I don't know how to explain it, but there's something about her that just like draws my eye. And I just love her as an actress.
I'm looking at her right now. She looks really pretty.
Yeah, she's the female lead and she is so good.
Oh, she's pretty new.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She truly is. So the premise is that she is a struggling actress. Like she's basically played every background role. Like they show her, she's like a dead body. She's a zombie.
Oh
like
my God, that's amazing.
Right. And so she has this friend from high school played by Kim Do-won. He was in Duna. He was like one of the friends in Duna. And he was also in Startup. He was, again, like one of the like tech guys or whatever.
Yep.
And I love him. I think he's great. So she was friends with him in high school. He is gay. And she knew that in high school. She would like, and she pretended to be his girlfriend for a little in high school. And she had no idea. He's like this like third generation Chaebol. Like the whole time they've been friends for 15 years.
Oh my God.
He's never told her. And he's been in New York for a while and he comes back and she's like, I can't let him see how much I'm still struggling. So she like borrows a car from a friend and she's like, she borrows a designer purse from another friend. She really like plays up that she's successful. And she's like, I'm not lying to him. I'm acting. I don't want him to worry about me. He's going to go back to New York soon. And I want him to just think, oh, my friend's doing okay. Except shit's going down in his family. Okay. And his grandfather, you know, wants him to get married. And so basically he's like, will you, he basically comes to her and says, well, will you marry me? Like, will you be for 3 years? Will you be essentially my fake wife? And so that's all the point that I'm at yet. And that's what I just said isn't a spoiler. That's like basically in the blurb of Wedding Impossible. So, but the romance.
I was going to say, she falls for someone else.
The romance is with his younger brother.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. And so she is technically like, I think his Nuna, even though he doesn't call her Nuna because he doesn't like her.
I love it.
The younger brother is played by Moon Sung-min. I have not seen him yet, or if I have, I don't. Oh, he was in Duty After. Oh, he was in My Name, Under the Queen's Umbrella, and Duty After School. Oh my gosh, and he won Best New Actor at
Under the Queen's Umbrella.
Well, let me tell you. He was born in 2000. I don't care.
Oh my God. Sweet little baby man. He's cute.
He is so attractive. He's so tall. And he hates her.
You know how I feel about tallness, because we're going to talk about that today.
I know. So he hates her. She hates him. And he had like a meet cute with her before he ever knew that she was his. So they had this really funny meet cute where they didn't like each other right away.
I am so sold on this.
Yeah. And so they now have this like, and the younger brother doesn't want this marriage to happen because he wants his brother to marry a different woman that his grandfather had picked for him, because his younger brother basically just wants, he's kind of trying to ride his older brother coattails. There's also like, they're kind of like the illegitimate children as well. There's this whole thing.
Does he know that his brother's gay?
No. So he doesn't know. And his brother's like, look, there are some things I'm keeping, I want to keep to myself. And so the younger brother doesn't know. He's just trying to like do what he thinks is best for like the family. And he hates her. He thinks she's in the way. And she hates him back. And their enemies' banter is so good, Amy. I said this in our Slack channel that Wedding Impossible is giving me love to hate you vibes very much.
Yeah.
Like there's really good humor. There is. There's great humor. And the chemistry between the two leads, like who are going to have the romance, is very good. Like,
oh, this sounds really so good.
I'm really into it. I'm just really hoping the romance like pulls through and delivers eventually. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
But right now,
if the chemistry is that good, I have to believe that it will.
I thought about it all day. Like I actually thought about this drama all day. I was like, I am so into it. So I'm very excited. I am on like episode 2 or 3 or something, maybe 3, but I just, yeah, it basically just has like the right touch of humor. And so, yeah, that's what I'm watching now. I will start the second season of Physical 100 as well soon because I love the first season. So, but right now, man, Wedding Impossible has me. So whoever posted about it on Instagram, I don't know who it was. It might have been a bunch of you. Thank you, because I started it and I'm so into it. So, Amy, I do think it's up.
Yeah, no, you said, I mean, you didn't tell me much about it. You're just like, I think you'd really like this. And everything you said, I'm like, mm-hmm, yes. Yeah. Checks like all my boxes.
Like enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
And they're, and she is, it's great. Like she can be an actress. Like she can fake it like the best of them. And he like, I think hates it, like grates on his nerves that she's a good actress.
I love it so much.
Yeah, it's so good. So anyway,
fun.
But that's not what we're talking about today.
No, we are talking about another drama that has a very tall male lead who's very young.
Yes.
And that is Marry My Husband.
Woohoo.
And this is the drama that I've been dying to talk about. So not that I'm happy that Leah is not with us tonight, but I'm glad that we're getting the chance to talk about this sooner rather than later, because this drama was very, very recent. It started, I'm pretty sure, January 1st and went through like mid-February. And yeah, I'm very happy that we're doing this today.
Me too.
So before we get into any specifics, because, you know, we don't like to do spoilers right off the bat, this is a revenge drama. So let's talk revenge plots, because that's what we've got today with Marry My Husband. So just revenge in general, love it or leave it.
Love it. Always, always love it. Always.
Yeah. I think this is one, I'm on record. I know. I'm like, this is one that we've talked about before where I didn't realize that I liked revenge until I went through and sort of like cataloged how much revenge stuff that I've watched. I was like, oh, yeah, I really do. Not just like, you know, revenge across the board, but a good reason for the revenge, then I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm always going to be down for like, oh, they killed my family. I'm going to kill them all. Like, I mean, it's just like it happened, you know, I'm going to go for it every time.
So since you'll go for it every time, do you have a favorite Western revenge book, movie, or show, something other than John Wick? Because we've talked about him a lot.
So I have two. First is Kill Bill. I freaking love Kill Bill. So, I mean, if you don't know Kill Bill, I mean, where do I even
Quentin
start?
Quentin Tarantino but, violence.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino violence. I know, I'm always going to edge towards like, I mean, I consider Kill Bill to be pretty smart.
I just think that your choice is going to be very funny compared to mine.
Yeah, because wait for my next one. My next one is not smart, and I don't care. I will die on the hill of the movie The Punisher.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, with Thomas Jane.
Yeah, but that's Marvel, right? Isn't The Punisher Marvel? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so. There are so many.
I mean, Thomas Jane's hot, so.
He is so good. There are so many terrible, terrible lines that are.
Oh, so it's like cheesy and bad?
Well, there's a little bit like of a self-awareness to it that makes it kind of okay, but it's a little cheesy. I love it. Okay. My husband and I still quote lines from the Punisher. Like there's a line where some like, you know, he's doing his revenge stuff. And this one guy's like, may God be with you. And the Punisher goes, God's going to sit this one out.
Oh my God.
I love it every time. And someone was like, oh, you know, how will I find you? And he's like, check the newspaper. And the guy goes, what section? And he goes, the obituaries. It's just great. It's just so great. I'm sorry. It's so great.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I know. It's now go for yours that are going to be probably more highbrow.
No, not highbrow. But you know, you're like Kill Bill. And I'm like, the Princess Bride.
I know. The Princess Bride.
But I mean, come on. Who does not know the second that you hear, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. I mean, you know now. You didn't.
I know, but
like
I know
a
now.
Year ago. But you know now. I have a magnet of him on my fridge. Yeah, like so. Mandy Patinkin as Inigo Montoya in Revenge, wanting to kill the six-fingered man for killing his father. Yeah, one of my favorite movies ever. But also to go. I mean, I do think The Princess Bride is highbrow. Some people don't, but I think it's highbrow. And I've talked before about how much I love Christopher Nolan movies and my kids and I like loving all of the Batman movies and, you know, stuff like Inception and Interstellar and Tenet are some of the most recent ones. And even, I mean, like, you know, Oppenheimer and Dunkirk, like we love his histories too, but we love, love, love Christopher Nolan movies. And so I finally got my kids to like go back and watch an earlier one, which I always loved, which is The Prestige. Which is two competing magicians.
Yeah, I've never seen
that. It's really good with, well, I'm like blanking on names, Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman.
That's it.
Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman. I'm like, why am I, I'm brain farting tonight. So The Prestige with Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman, and they are magicians who just keep trying to one up each other. And there is a big sort of scientific like magical twist and it is a revenge story that it's kind of a spoiler for me to say that, but I'm sorry, the movie, it's like, you know, it's like spoiling The Sixth Sense. Like this movie has been around for over 20 years. Like if you don't know, you don't know, and if you know, you know. But it was one of those where I hadn't seen it in so long that when I'm watching it with my kids, I'm like, I remember this being like a wow kind of ending, but I forgot what the wow was. And then you get there and you're like, oh my God, like it's dark. It's good. But yeah, it's a big old revenge story, and it's done very well. So yeah, Princess Bride and The Prestige.
I like it. So what would we say is a good drama, K-drama comp for Marry My Husband?
I'm going to say Itaewon Class. Mm-hmm. Because this is the kind of revenge where if it's a hero or a heroine who's getting the revenge, obviously you're always rooting for the hero or the heroine, but it's the kind of revenge that is like a smart revenge. Right. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like just super, you know, look for me in the obituaries kind of thing. Like it is not just like, you know, killing everybody who did you wrong. It is like giving people like some very smart sort of comeuppances. I really like that about this. And I feel like that's what Itaewon Class was. Like Itaewon Class was, I've got my 15-year plan.
Yeah.
Of how I'm going to get all my revenge. And it's very well thought out and not cruel. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not cruel, just playing defense more. You know, like especially with the premise of this drama where she knows what her future holds, so she can defend herself before things happen.
Yeah, I would say this was, yeah, it was like very much defensive drama until the end, which I'm not going to spoil.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. It was funny because we talked a little bit when we started watching it that it felt like what we sort of wished The Glory had been more.
Because
The
Glory was just like the cruel vengeance, you know?
Not that
the people in The Glory didn't deserve to get what they, you know, sort of dished out, but it was like there wasn't an intelligence to it.
Right. And we were kind of hoping that there was. Yeah. And instead, it was a lot of like cruelty and violence. And I just didn't. And I'm not even saying I disliked the glory. I kind of had wished it had gone a different way. Same. And yeah. And so watching Marry My Husband, I was kind of like, oh, OK, like she has a plan. She's like following through with this plan. Like it just felt a little bit, even though she kind of changed the plan a little bit halfway through.
That wasn't her fault. That was the writer's fault.
Right. I guess I would say for a comp, even though I still have not seen Vincenzo.
Yeah.
I have seen enough of Vincenzo. I saw the first like 4 or 5 episodes. I've seen enough of Vincenzo to think that that is more of a closer comp than some of the like bloodier revenge K-dramas, which would be like My Name, even like Ballerina, like what I had just mentioned. Ballerina and My Name are both like women getting revenge and just leaving a pile of bloody bodies in their wake. Like that is what those. Yeah. And that is not what Marry My Husband is, which is why
it's not at all.
It's why it felt more like
there is like murder. Like we don't want to say there's no violence in here because there is some violence, right. But it's not like gory.
It felt more like soap opera revenge. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
Yes.
I mean it in a way where like the revenge is being done through like back channel little cunning communications, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. So, yes, we're talking about Marry My Husband today, a 2024 drama on Prime for us here in the U.S. I'm not sure if it's other places in other countries, but for us, we found it on Prime, starring Park Min Young as a woman dying of stomach cancer, only to find out that her deadbeat husband and best friend are sleeping together and planning to use her life insurance money to start a new life. This isn't a spoiler, as it's in the drama's blurb and is revealed early on in episode 1. But the story gets pretty wild from there, and we'll get into all of it in our spoiler section. But for now, let's start with just some general musings on the drama and the actors who brought these very colorful characters to life. Since you were the first one to start watching this drama, like, why? What made you decide to?
Honestly, Na Inu. I mean, I love him so much since we saw him as the sad cousin. And Mr. Queen.
Yes.
And I really wanted to see him in a lead role where he plays like an adult, like a full adult. He's like, I don't know, 30-year-old man, even though he plays up, you know, because he's only like
29.
Oh, it's 29.
Yeah, I think he is.
Oh, you're right. Mr. Queen was a little bit ago.
Yeah, Mr. Queen, because I remember when we saw Mr. Queen, I'm like, oh, my God, he's 26.
Oh, right. No, he's not a little baby.
Yeah, he's 1994.
Okay, that's acceptable.
Yeah, so he's going to be, this is his 30th year, so hooray.
Yeah, and the last couple of dramas I have not, that Park Min Young has been in, I just haven't been interested in them. And I love her, but I just have not been into the plots. Like, I think Forecasting Love and Weather, and of course, a bunch of our listeners were like, that was a dud. So, and I started hearing really good things about Marry My Husband, and I heard the webtoon was amazing. And I was in the mood to watch something like that. And I watched the first episode and I thought, okay, like this is fucking good. Like, let's go, you know, like, and I really didn't know much about it when I started it. So I watched it for the leads. I truly, truly did. And because the premise sounded really freaking cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you started it first and you're like, Park Min Young is killing it in this.
Yes.
Like killing it. And I love her, but like, going along with what you said, I needed to see Na Eun-woo as a lead who hopefully does not become a sacrificial, unrequited
right, let's
martyr,
get him an ATA,
you know? Yeah. God, that man's just, I love him. I love him. And so I was very excited for that when I saw that he was the male lead in this. But yeah, I love Park Min Young. And that kind of goes with like the next question, because we've seen a few like Park Min Young dramas that have made us want to watch more of her. And I'm sure that we'll probably both agree that Healer is one of our favorite dramas with her in it. Mm-hmm. But what's your favorite role of hers that you've seen so far? Like, is it Healer or, you know, did this one trump it?
It's still Healer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Nothing will trump her character. Because I loved her character in Healer, like the scrappy reporter who was just so brave and so loving. I just loved her. I wanted to be her friend. Like, she, and the thing is, she wasn't really that flawed. like in Healer, like truly, like her.
No, she was perfect.
And
she was perfect.
She was perfect.
There is nothing wrong.
Yeah, and like as much as I love a flawed character, like I'm sorry, nothing's gonna top how amazing her character was, and how like she was just so perfect in that romance. She knew exactly what our lovely Ji Chang-uk needed, and yeah, that will be my favorite. I don't know if she can top it.
I love her in that. And I think the first thing we all saw her in was What's Wrong with Secretary Kim. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know I saw that before Healer. Did you?
No, I saw Healer okay. first.
And I liked her a lot in What's Wrong with Secretary Kim, and I liked that drama a lot. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that she got to play with a big range in
No.
What's Wrong with Secretary Kim.
No, it was Park Seo-joon. Like, he's yeah, the that, one who that got was, the, right. like...
That drama was a vehicle for him, and that's fine. That's fine. But I feel like... And I'll never be over her decision at the end of the drama as far as her career. I'll never be over that.
Right, so. Right.
Yeah, I mean, Healer... I think it's hard to separate, though. I think it's hard to separate the actor from the drama when it's a drama that is so beloved. And like Healer is one that we love so much.
I know.
So I've seen her in Healer. I've seen her in Secretary Kim, Her Private Life, and this. I don't think I've seen her in anything else. I still have my City Hunter DVDs waiting for me to watch her with Lee Min Ho. And I like that's been on my list forever. But I have to like relegate myself to the tiny mini DVD player screen. I think the acting that she gets to do in Marry My Husband is phenomenal. Like she gets to play such a range, and she gets to go from this like mousy, meek, like will never speak up for herself to badass boss bitch who is, you know, taking no prisoners. And I love seeing that transition, but never lose her heart, like through all that. Like she still had heart. But yeah, I don't know if I can separate her from Healer to decide, you know, if anyone's
I know.
Better. Because it's just a great drama.
That's what I'm saying. I guess that's to be honest, but that
yeah. No, I agree. Cause like
But I would say Marry My Husband though is
number two.
And like close. Like I mean her this was her drama. Like, I hope she gets some sort of award for it because she was incredible.
Yeah, she was.
She truly was. And I hope she's proud of it because she should be. Like, she should look back at this drama and be like, damn, I did good work.
Yeah, Kang Ji-won is a character that, like, she just took hold of that woman and wow. Like, just wow.
So great. Yep. We were introduced to Na In-woo with Mr. Queen, forever referring to him as sad cousin. He played the pinnacle of a man who is a martyr for his unrequited love, and we cried for his ending in that drama. So, color both of us delighted when we found out he was a principal role in Marry My Husband. So, yeah, when Amy first started the drama, she messaged me, because I was a few episodes ahead of her, to tell me that the drama did his character dirty with the way they styled his hair. You were so mad.
I was like, this is a beautiful man, and what is his hairdo they have going on? I said he looks like very Ajusi. Like
you did. And I said, look, wait. Like you gotta wait. You know,
there's a reason.
Have no fear, all of you stans who love Sad Cousin as much as us. Like there is a reason for it, and it gets better. Later. Okay. It gets better. So having said that, what did you think of him as the male lead? Was he a water bottle hero for you, like some viewers were complaining, or were you fine with him just being a beautiful redwood for Park Min Young to climb? And climb she did.
Oh, yes, she did.
The kissing.
Look, I did not know this man was as tall as he was in Mr. Queen. Yeah, I don't know how I did. Like, maybe it was like all of the like the palace garb and stuff like that and the hats. And I just didn't realize what a giant tree he was, like in the best way. Like I have never dated like a very tall man before. And there's some climbing that needs to be done. Like I just love how tall he is. It's not like an obscene tall. Like he just has a great build, a great mm-hmm. silhouette, a great structure, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, so I did see some people posting that, you know, they didn't like that he didn't get as much of a backstory as her, that the drama didn't focus on how he was dealing with the fact of what happened to him. And I'm not going to give it away in the non-spoiler section, but they wanted more for him. And my defense of that is that this was, like you just said, it was Park Min Young's drama.
It was her drama and her character.
It was her drama and her character and her story. And I was okay with him supporting her agenda. Mm-hmm. And I respect other people who wanted more for his character, and I'm totally fine with that. I'm just saying that I was fine with him being a beautiful redwood supporting her character.
Yeah, I think not all dramas are going to feel like an equal. Not all dramas are gonna feel equal when it comes to like the romance pairing or like the amount of time we devote to their like character journey and character arc. I think in a perfect world, I prefer that usually. I prefer kind of like two arcs that like mesh and merge.
Yeah,
I would
sure.
say kind of like Healer or I Am Not a Robot, where you really do get the separate backstories. But even if I Am Not a Robot, it's still very much more like his
it
journey
is.
Too. And so for Marry My Husband, that's the way I felt. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Into the Ring, which was very similar in that you had this heroine and it was really her story and it was her journey and it was her ambition. And the hero, while he did have a backstory, he did. Like, he had a great story in Into the Ring. His purpose in the script clearly and in the story was to be supportive of her. And so that was Ji Hyuk's purpose in Marry My Husband. And I think the writers made it pretty clear.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that in the spoiler section.
Yeah, and we will get to that. I'm just saying, we were never really.
There was no like bait and switch or anything like that.
No, I think we kind of always knew.
It wasn't 25-21 for you.
No, and but I still feel like we got some good backstory with him, and so it didn't disappoint me too much. But I'm not disagreeing. Like, I'm never going to be like, what? He got just as much as her. He didn't. He did it, but.
But he didn't get nothing.
Okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, episode one is, it's very clear. It's her story.
I mean, the title is Marry My Husband. It's her,
right.
It's her story. And again, I'm not like disrespecting anybody who wanted more for his character. Like, I would
right.
have taken
That's
more
fair.
Had it been, I would have taken more had it been there, but I wasn't sad about it being her story.
Yeah. And I think part of it too was part of her journey was that she had to be the one to do it.
Yeah.
She couldn't really. She could get some help along the way, but she was never going to be like saved in the end. Like, it was always going to be her, because that was part of her journey and her arc, that she was the one who had to stand up for herself.
Right. Because in her first life, she was the damsel in distress and nobody saved her.
Yeah.
Right.
And she couldn't save herself.
And she couldn't save herself. And so that's what she wanted to change. But we'll get more into that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I was okay. Pretty beautiful redwood. That was him. So there are some pretty despicable characters in Marry My Husband who do some pretty despicable things, namely Kang Ji-won's husband, Park Min-won, played by Lee Kyung, and Kang Ji-won's bestie, Jung Soo-min, played by Song Ha-yoon, who have both played very funny and or likable characters in other dramas. Without giving too much away, because we will get there, of how horrible they truly are, how would you rate their effectiveness as villains? And did you recognize either or both of them from other dramas you've seen? Or did they like disappear into their characters because of what a great job they did?
Yeah. So let me say, I had no idea that I'd seen them in other dramas. I will say that Song Ha-yoon looked familiar and it was kind of driving me crazy. And you're like, it's the second female lead from
Fight for My Way.
And I was like, what? Because she was just this little elf marshmallow in Fight for My Way.
She was like a little mom. Like,
yeah, and she dressed really conservative. Yeah, because that was her like arc. She just wanted to be like
she wanted to get married and be a mom.
Yeah, and she wasn't.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just it was a very different character.
Very different character. Then she's like a sex kitten in Marry My Husband. And I also didn't recognize Lee Kyung from Go Back Up.
It was his smile. I'm like, why do I know this just like.
Yeah.
I mean, his smile is so big and it like all the way to his eyes. Like, we talk about it in writing a lot. Like, did the smile reach their eyes? Like, he smiled with his whole face. And I'm like, there's something about this smile that I cannot get out of my head. And I looked him up and I was like, oh my God.
So did you know he can sing and dance? And
everything? Really? Oh, my God. No.
And his father is the CEO of LG Innotek.
Well, there you go.
Like, we're talking like.
Talk about Chabal.
Yeah. And he is like an actor and he's playing like these. Anyway, that's.
He was so good.
I love these two as villains so, so much. I'm always a fan of villains. You know, like Gui Nam from All of Us Are Dead is still like one of my top villains. The villain from, oh my gosh, Suspicious Partner. Remember how much we loved that villain?
I mean, he was great. We love talking about him. Like, so good.
Yeah. And so these two were so good. And one thing that always bugs me sometimes when you have kind of like an evil husband or an evil boyfriend is that you're like, well, why did they fall for them in the first place? God, they're such dicks. I loved how this drama clearly showed why she fell for him in the first place.
And why she always believed Soo-min.
The way they.
The gaslighting
that they put her through. And it was so easy to understand why she fell for him, why she allowed herself to be like
manipulated
by her bestie. All of it made sense. And you could see how it happened because she kind of had like low self-esteem. She was insecure. And so she like let people take advantage of her. And it was such, and these villains were so good because like they were smart. Like you had,
Soo-min was more calculating. Whereas I think Min-won was got just, lucky. You know what I mean? Like
mean.
He was just mean, but he got lucky with his meanness.
He did. He was self-serving and mean, but God, he was good. Like, I have to admit, it's rare that I found him, God, as much of a dick he was, I was like, oh, God, he is attractive.
Well, here's what it was. I was like, why do I keep finding this guy cute?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's horrible.
I know.
But also, like, in the beginning, when she first goes back in time, you just think he's kind of a bumbling idiot, and maybe he won't be so bad, but, like, he does get really bad. But it helped me to find that I knew him from Go Back Couple, because I was like, oh, he was so cute and like delightful in that maybe some of that was just kind of lingering. But he is a really good looking guy.
Like, he's so good looking.
And that smile sucks me in every time.
And that's why you could see that he got away with so many things.
Yes.
And why he was able to manipulate Ji-won and just... He was great.
Because when he was sweet, he was so sweet.
When he was sweet, he was sickly sweet. And it made you like fall for him. Like,
you were like, I'm like, maybe he's not. And even she, like with both of them, there were times where she felt bad.
I know.
Manipulating them.
Even though they manipulated her.
Even though she knows they murder her 10 years later, she felt bad manipulating them because she could see little glimpses of like good in them.
I think she wanted to believe to a degree.
Because, like, she doesn't automatically just get this fantastic self-esteem, and it still hurts for them to do what they do to her, even though they do it all over again. Oh, so good. They're so good. I can't wait to talk more about them. And this truly is an ensemble cast, like, mm-hmm. even if it is Kang Ji-won's story. And we'll get to all of the other characters in our spoiler section, especially... Iggy Kwong, who is our K-pop rec of the week. So Megan, tell us more.
So Iggy Kwong is, oh gosh, so he was formerly a member of the K-pop group Beast, which then kind of morphed into what they go by now, which is Highlight. And so all members of Highlight have already done their military service, and so now they're like back on the scene and they're releasing music. And right before, like, it was like last week or something, so it was very timely, but they just released a song called Body. And look, Iggy Kwong is very much known for being like a sexy idol. I mean, he's very famous. People love him. He was a judge on Peak Time, if you guys remember me talking about Peak Time. I've liked him for a while, and it was really funny because when I saw him in Marry My Husband, I didn't realize it was him, because it was like, I was
and
like,
he's like a little golden retriever in this.
Yeah. And I was like, why does he look familiar? And it's because I never, no one told me. Like, it's like I didn't expect
you didn't
to see
get the
him
memo.
In a drama. Yeah. No one sent me the memo. But I love him as an idol. I thought he did great as an actor. And Body by, well, first of all, I like a lot of highlight songs. I like a lot of B songs too. But their new song Body is super, it's actually my favorite single that they've released since they've been highlight. It's really, really catchy. The dance is great. And they're performing it on all the music shows. So I highly recommend you check it out. You got to see Gi Kwang do his thing. Because trust me, he is very good at what he does.
And it's so funny,
again,
I didn't know that he was an idol when I started this. And so now to like,
oh yeah,
see the switch. Yeah.
Right. So again, it's Body by Highlight. So check it out.
If you enjoy our podcast, you have our patrons to thank, at least in part. Afternoon of Delight Patreon allows us to keep creating content for y'all to enjoy. Thank you so much to everyone who is supporting us there. And not to brag, but our Patreon community is pretty awesome. And you can join at a tier that feels good to you. Gain access to fun perks like K-drama posts, monthly Patreon-only bonus podcasts, and even a live K-drama support group on Zoom. Because we know firsthand what it's like to have no one to talk to about those crazy plot twists, amazing characters, and all those feelings. And look, no one should have to walk that walk alone. So learn more by visiting afternoonadelight.com. That's www.afternoonadelight.com. And hey, while you're on the website, you can check out Afternoon Delight podcast merch, find links to book recommendations, bop along to our K-pop recs, glow up your skin with K-merch recs, find all of our social media, and a link to our email so you can send us recommendations or feedback. And hey, while you're at it, why don't you pop over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review? It really helps with our discoverability. Gamsahamnida.
All right. Well, guess where we are?
Spoiler section.
Woohoo! So if you've not watched Marry My Husband and do not want to be spoiled, head on over to Prime and buckle up because it is a wild ride.
Give it a
and
shot.
And it's 16 episodes, so it is a full drama. Worth it. Like, this is definitely one of those that I'm like, this needs to like stick the landing, and I don't know if it's going to because it did go off the rails.
Right.
I'm just realizing something that I did not mention in the script, so we'll have to get to it. And it's
okay.
The white truck scene. Like,
I need a whole question on the white truck.
I'm like, wait, I didn't.
We'll talk about
we'll
the white
get
truck.
There. Yeah, we'll get there. There. Oh my God. All right. So let's start with the time travel magic of all of this, okay? So okay. Kang Ji-won, like we said before, is dying of stomach cancer. When she finds out that her deadbeat dick of a husband hasn't paid her hospital bills, she heads home to confront him, only to find Min-won in bed with Su-min, her childhood best friend, plotting what they'll do with the insurance money once she dies. Ji-won confronts them and, probably for the first time ever, rides the wave of her outrage and lets loose on both of them. There is a struggle, and Min-won pushes her. She falls backward, crashing through a glass table and dies in buckets of head trauma blood. Only to wake up in her office 10 years in the past with all her memories of what will happen a decade later. And she decides that she needs to get Su-min to marry her husband, Min-won. But she learns there is a catch. Everything that happened to her throughout those 10 years, like marrying Min-won, getting cancer, even burning her hand in a minor office accident, has to happen to someone else if it doesn't happen to Kang Ji-won. So what did you think of sort of the moral complexities of this like Final Destination-esque rule?
It was weird. I have to admit, I wasn't fully understanding it. Like, I understand they brought it up when she remembers that she had gotten burned on her arm and she had a scar in, like, her previous life, I guess I'll say her previous life. And she avoids the scar the second time, but then she finds
Ji-hyuk
gets injured and now he has a scar. And so that's how she puts two and two together. But I guess I was kind of like. So
where
just any random,
line? Yeah,
yeah. Like, where do you draw the line? So just this little scar, it happens. Like,
Like if she had, like if she had like a, like a, like a shit her pants blowout, like does that have to happen to somebody else?
You know? And like, I don't know if she like spills coffee on her shirts as like someone else. Yeah, it felt a little weird. I will admit right now, I didn't really care.
No,
but
I didn't
either. Kind of like, I'm not really sure where this is going.
Because they only use like three things.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was, this is one of the things that like made me so interested in the beginning. I was like, are we really going to push this? I know Su Min's terrible, but are we really going to be like, marry Min Won and then watch Su Min now die of stomach cancer? Like, I was like, is that what we're doing? Like, it was
right.
Because that still feels
like, can you just give everything to one of their, like, do you just give somebody your fate?
Yeah, it was, I that's one of the things that I was so interested to watch, is because I was like, where is this going to go and how are they going to take it?
That's very morally gray, right? Especially when you've not just like the fact that she doesn't want, like, somebody has to die falling through the coffee table. That has to happen.
I know, and it just felt like, and it wasn't, I mean, it was bad. They killed her, but then, like, I don't.
Here, you get to have this instead.
Like, I was like, do I believe in an eye for an eye? I don't know.
It's not, like, a total, like, innocent bystander gets the cancer.
Yeah, and it just felt weird, too, because they hadn't killed her yet in that timeline. So it felt weird to punish them for, even though we knew they were going to do it, it felt weird to punish them for something they didn't do yet.
Right.
Is that, and I know that seems weird, but it, in the, obviously we'll talk about the ending. In the end, I really liked how it worked out.
Yes.
And I thought, because they did so many bad things,
did you ever see the movie Minority Report, the Tom Cruise movie Minority Report? Yeah, that's what that made me think of. Is like,
you're
that,
right.
Like precogs who like predict the future, and so you get arrested for a crime you might commit.
I remember that. So it was just, in the end, they got punished for things that they did do in that timeline.
Yes.
In a way.
Yes,
and so then
for
I was like, okay with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because they were their own downfall, and I'm here for that kind of takedown.
Right. Correct.
But I did, you know, like, so we've got Gong Min Jung, who played Yang Ji-ran, who was a co-worker of Kang Ji-won and ends up, you know, becoming manager. And she gets the cancer, and she has the deadbeat husband. And
I was like, what? Why does she have the cancer? What? This cancer's just hopping around. I remember being
She
really
survived the cancer, which was great. But like, I was like, she has to pass off her cancer. Can't she not get it this time? Like, can't she just not get it because she doesn't have the stress that like led her into this unhealthy life, you know, kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then does someone else die of cancer? Like, because someone still didn't die of it yet. So is there like some random other person who's like,
but she didn't die of the cancer. She died of the table.
Oh, you're right. Oh, shit. Oh, see, you're smart. I didn't. You're right.
Yeah. So nobody has to die of the cancer.
You're right. No one has to die of the cancer. Okay. So she could have survived it.
As long as somebody crashes through that table.
Okay.
we're all good. But yeah, I mean, it's a weird sort of moral complexity there, because once I found that out, I was like, okay, but in my head, her fate was just going to transfer to Su Min, and it would play out in that way. And it didn't. It was very different.
Yeah.
And like you said, I'm still okay with the way that it went down, because it proved that they were not redeemable characters. Like, they were going to be shitty no matter which situation they were in.
Correct. In the end, I feel like they did worse shitty. I mean, they were worse, but they still did really shitty stuff. And so, yeah, and I think because it played out like that, I was like, fuck yeah. I mean, just do what you can do to them at the end. Like, they're terrible people. Because in the beginning, I was kind of like, God, she's being so mean to Su Min, even though I know Su Min is going to sleep with her husband and participate in killing her. I felt iffy, but then as soon as Su Min kind of like began showing her true colors, I was like, oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's how this drama is going to like sell me on the revenge and sell me it did.
Because we really got to see how horrible she was when we go back in time and how long she had been manipulating Ji-won. So, yeah, and we'll get to that.
Okay, so from the get-go, Yoo Ji-hyuk, Kang Ji-won's boss, is overly interested in helping her, almost as if he knows exactly what she needs right when she needs it, even reuniting her with her first love, Baek Eun-ho, played by Lee Gi-kwang, in order to squash a rumor that got her bullied back in high school. Before we got to the reveal of what part he was meant to play in Kang Ji-won's do-over, what did you expect? So I remember getting some messages from
So me. I was really worried because I was like we said, we came to this drama because Nanu was the male romantic lead, or so I thought.
Yeah.
Right?
That was we were under the impression.
Right. Then we start watching and, you know, to back up a second, the perpetrator of this time travel magic, which never gets explained, and we'll get to that a little bit later, is Kang Ji-won's dead father. Somehow he's now an angel who has the power to send her back in time to redo her life. And before it's revealed that Ji-hyuk is in a do-over too, I thought he was her dad.
Thank God he wasn't.
I mean, what? Because what she's like, the Ajussi hair, right?
He did have such a bad hair.
And I messaged Megan, I'm like, so help me if he's her dad. And I'm sitting here like wanting them to get it on. Like, I'm going to lose my shit if he's her dad. Like, that's going to, it would have worked, right? But like, why? Like, don't put her dad in this beautiful man's body. Like,
well, I don't want a romance. I don't. I mean,
no.
You know what?
No.
You know
no. Yeah. Oh, no. Leah would have been
Leah
totally
been into it.
If it was her dad, Leah would have been like, fuck yes.
Dude, if it was her dad, that's all we would have had to say. And Leah would have watched the whole thing in a night. That's all we had to say. Leah, there's like major incest. And Leah would have been like, sign me up. But
only though, like,
I love how we both said that at the same time because we know.
The only way it would have worked is if we went like a little bit of like a time called you where like Ji-hyuk is still in there clawing his way out.
Oh, yeah. He's like trapped in the mind cave of
Kang Ji-won's dad.
Oh, my God. Stop. Oh, God. I you know, I thought maybe for a brief moment it was her dad. But then I was like, no, like that's not. I knew from the get go, though, that he knew something. Like I was like, he's
involved.
It was
too weird how involved he was.
Yeah. And he was like, and then they would like show him staring after her like longingly. I'm like, there is something going on where he doesn't just have like a crush on her. Like there is, he knows something.
I will say it was a good red herring, right? Like, cause I was like really worried that it was her dad, and it made sense to an extent. Like, why is he acting like this old, like, fuddy-duddy? And it was just because he had no style. He needed a glow up. Like, that's really what it was. Like, he was a nerd, and he was a cute nerd, you know?
He needed a makeover, and he got one thanks to his sister.
Yes. Queen of makeovers. But yeah, that was so funny, because I was like, is it her dad? And you're like, just keep watching.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want it to be.
So before the time jump, Kang Ji-won thought she knew what friendship was, having no idea she'd been gaslit and manipulated by Soo-min since the day they met, by Soo-min stealing Ji-won's wallet just so she could be the heroine who returned it and became her best friend. As Ji-won takes her fate into her own hands with her do-over, she finds true friendship with Yoo Hee-yun and Yang Ju-ran, played by Choi Gyu-ri and Gong Min-jung, respectively. What did you think of these friendships and how they worked as foils to what Ji-won thought she had with Soo-min?
So, like, what I loved is that when they went back, she still thought that Soo-min was her friend and wasn't going to betray her yet, right? Until, like, she had no idea that Soo-min had been gaslighting her, betraying her since they met because, you know, she was mad that their parents ran off together. Because that's really, that was the catalyst for this all, is that, you know, Soo-min's father and Kang Ji-won's mother had an affair. And Ji-won never knew that it was Soo-min's father. Like, she just knew that her mother left, and that was that. And so it's basically been, like, a long simmering revenge, and you know, Soo-min has been controlling her, manipulating her, and basically, like, keeping her down by getting her bullied by other people and being the one to always come to her rescue, right? And before Ji-won knows this, she's still sort of sympathetic to Soo-min and thinks that maybe, you know, Soo-min really is her friend still. And then we have her meet these two other women who are just good people through and through.
Cinnamon rolls.
Right? Like, just good people. And, you know, she becomes friends with Hyun by getting her a pad in the bathroom, or pad or tampon, whatever she needs, right? We see, isn't like Soo-min there, and Soo-min like doesn't answer her cry for help, and then Ji-won does, and they become like besties because she takes care of her. And just right there, you see the difference in people who are good to you just for the sake of being good to you. Like, Hyun, you know, takes her shopping and, you know, makes her over because, of course, she's, you know, ends up being, you know, Ji-hyuk's sister and is totally rich.
Yeah.
You know, and again with Ji-won, like with all of the work stuff, and, you know, because Ji-won is very much like Ji-won is 10 years later, right? She's got the shitty husband who's a deadbeat. She's afraid to speak up for herself. And so she kind of gets manipulated by their manager to like knock Ji-won off of her project, and she feels terrible and is like very apologetic. When she gets the cancer, she lets Ji-won take care of her. She cries in front of Ji-won. Like, they have real exchanges, real emotional exchanges, which she learns that she never had with Soo-min. Like, Soo-min was only ever there to tear her down.
Yeah, I think the thing was that they show that Soo-min would make sure that Ji-won could not have any other friends. Mm-hmm. So she wanted Ji-won completely dependent on her. So because of that, Ji-won never really even knew what real friendship was. And so when she met these other women who were just like good people,
right,
and who genuinely wanted to be friends with her because they saw good in her, she was like blown away, I think, that just the teamwork that they had as co-workers, how they weren't stealing each other as ideas, how they wanted each other to benefit, how they wanted each other to look their best, just like all these things that are common friendship things, but that Ji-won just had never seen because Soo-min was like, nope, I'm the only one you can rely mm-hmm. on. Like, Soo-min is basically like, no one will love you like I do.
Yep. And Ji-won believed
heartbreaking.
It. Yeah.
It was heartbreaking to see, because you're right. At first, Ji-won was like, okay, my friend's going to betray me later. And I wonder why she turns on me. No,
She never loved you.
And like, that was really harder. Yeah, and that was really hard for Ji-won. I really felt for her because then she was like, I have been lied to like my whole life, mm-hmm. as, you know.
Ugh.
And things could have been so much different if I just hadn't fallen for what Soo-min was telling me. But she didn't know any different.
Nope. She found a girl who was vulnerable and had no one and turned her into exactly what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. So speaking of Soo-min, there are villains, and then there are villains. We've seen many great ones in K-drama, like we talked about. Like, how many times have we mentioned An Oh-joo from Lawless Lawyer? But Soo-min, why was she so good? Like, that's it. Like, why?
So this is the thing, is that revenge, her motivation wasn't money or power or anything. Her motivation and the reason for her revenge too was like never going to be sated, ever. And I think that was why she was so good, was like her reason in her mind, she was her own hero, which we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like in her mind, she was like, this is the right thing to do, is to make her life miserable because I'm miserable.
Yeah, she doesn't get to win if I don't get to win.
Yeah, she doesn't get to win if I don't get to win. And she was obsessed. She had this obsession with Kang Ji-won. And she was so good at what she did. She was so manipulative with everyone. She knew how to manipulate women. She knew how to manipulate men. She was so good at it. She was so smart. She was so much smarter than Min-won. And people didn't realize how smart she was because she really would play up kind of, like I said, like the, oh, like, I'm just a silly woman, mm-hmm. you know, when really she was so freaking smart. because one of the things was Ji-won's mother-in-law. So Min-won's mother was just a horrible witch. I mean, she was just horrible. Awful. And she treated Ji-won like dirt when she was married to Min-won. And so when Su-min married Min-won, it was a different story because the way she stood up to Min-won's mom was so great. I mean, just the reason Su-min was so good is because she would turn the tables a lot. Like just when Ji-won thought she was kind of getting ahead, Su-min was like right there with her and just got crazier and crazier. Like you can't beat crazy.
No.
You know? And so the fact that she just kept getting, and the thing is, the crazier she got, like the smarter she got.
Yeah. Which is really weird.
It was, and it was just so good. She's one of my favorite villains. And the thing is, she did everything without like hurting. Well, until Min-won, because she technically killed Min-won.
She did.
But she, like, nothing she did was violent. And that's why she was so good, too.
I mean, she was going to burn Ji-won alive.
She was going to
burn her apartment down.
Okay, that happened. But you know what I mean. It's not until
that was like the last straw, because she couldn't win the other way.
Once she killed
She was already
Min-won.
A murderer. Right, she was already a murderer. She's like, I'm going down in a blaze of glory.
Right. It was like once that happened, then things really went off the rails for her. But up until then, everything was done through manipulation and cunning and trickery. And that's pretty cool. It makes for a really good drama.
So that's kind of like leading what my next question is like, what's one of the things that sticks out to you, like as far as what she did? And the one that I cannot get out of my head, it's when Su-min jumps off into the water and is like, remember, I can't swim. And she like, backs off into the water. Mm-hmm. But it is where basically like Su-min is trying to see how far Ji-won will go, because Ji-won's already admitted that she doesn't want to be friends with her anymore, that she, you know, that she doesn't like her anymore. And Su-min backs off this pier into the water and is like, remember, I can't swim. And what does Ji-won do? She dives in to save Su-min, and Su-min starts to drown her. Like, it was crazy. Like, you see her get the crazy eyes underwater. Like,
my God, crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Oh,
that, like, just that scene under the water, just the way Su-min looked at her, like, you can't fucking beat me.
Remember when she wrote the note? It reminded me a little bit of like the Burn Book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Because how did that go with the note? She wrote the note.
Well, she did a note more than once, because she wrote.
Right.
She wrote Eun-ho.
Right.
This note back in high school saying that she hated him.
But it was the second note she wrote
when she apologized to her.
Yeah.
And because she was trying to get Ji-won to talk to her again.
Yeah.
And Ji-won's reading it, and she's reading it, and she's like, it's so sincere that I almost believe her, and it makes mm-hmm. me feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how good she was.
And she, Su-min was so good on the fly. Like when
she can copy her handwriting too. Like, what the?
Yeah. And when she's like humiliated and she's at the lobby of the office when
she's getting fired. Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not, you bitch. I know you're not. But damn, you're so fucking good. Like, you're so cunning.
To the extent where she buys an ultrasound photo.
Oh, because she knows what to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. She's so smart, even though she's smart in an evil way.
Right.
She knows what she's doing. She's so fucking good.
She's so good.
Great villain. Like, tops to Su-min. And, you know, Song Ha-yoon, thank you for giving us such a great villain.
And not just, I mean, yes, she goes, like, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs eventually. But, like, she's not like this just for the sake of being bad. Like, she has been hurt and is miserable and wants to take her down because it makes zero sense for her to blame Ji-won for Ji-won's mom having an affair with her dad. But that's always been, like, sort of the impetus for her treatment of Ji-won. And it's like, you know, hurt people hurt people. Right. But this goes just way beyond. And it's
way beyond.
You know, she, like, Su-min basically was ruined when her father took off with Ji-won's mother. Like, that was Su-min's undoing. And she was like 11.
And she was jealous that Kang Ji-won had a great dad.
Had a good dad. Whereas Like, why does she get to be happy when I don't? Yeah.
Whereas Suman's mom was like terrible.
Yes.
And this was the thing. This was the thing about Suman as a villain. Which we're going to get to the other villain in a minute. Not Min-Wan, but the other one. Where you're just kind of like annoyed and you want her to go away.
Yes.
The thing about, and this has nothing to do with the acting.
No.
Well, of the other actress. This is like the character part. And script they were given.
Yeah.
The thing about Suman is I never really wanted her to go away.
No.
I wanted to know what she was
like. I was
do.
Terrified for what she was going to do next.
Me too.
But I couldn't wait.
I couldn't wait to see how she would, when they would like not focus on Suman for a while, I'm like, fucking get back to Suman. Like, I want to know what she's concocting now. You know, and that's a good villain when you can't wait to get back to them to see what kind of wrench they're going to throw in the hero's path.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
And also because the whole time, the thing with Suman, too, is that she not only was trying to ruin Kong Ji-won's life, but she was trying to further her own.
Yeah.
So she was it was like double, like she was trying to be successful herself in the way that she thought she could be while also ruining Kong Ji-won's life. So. I would say towards the end, it became more just about ruining Kong Ji-won because Suman knew she already ruined her life,
right.
But her own life. But for a long time, that was it. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah, she was great. When we both started this drama, like we said earlier, it felt really smart. Kong Ji-won was calculating in her revenge, but she was also still a good person at heart. And we rooted for her to undo her past and find happiness in a new future. But then the story tossed in a new villain midway through the drama, Ji-hyuk's evil ex-fiance, Oh Yoo-ra, played by Kwon Bo-ah. What did you think of the drama veering into more Mak-jong territory in the latter half? And was Yoo-ra just a plot moppet so someone else could die instead of Ji-hyuk?
So first I want to say that Bo-ah is actually a very famous K-pop soloist, and I did not realize it was Bo-ah. Until the drama was over. I've seen Boa, but like every time I've seen Boa, she's been like very crazy, like outfits and like makeup. And so I guess I just didn't recognize her as just kind of like a normal person. So I do think Boa did great in this role. I thought she was fantastic with what she was given. Did I like the character? No, she was annoying and I wanted her to go away and I didn't care about her, but she played a role and she was kind of a plot muppet. She was because it never made sense to me why she was like, it was one of those where I'm just like, girl, you don't really want him. Like, you're
no
in the plot. You are your purpose.
Like, want him so much that you're going to murder people.
Yeah. No, you're not. No, you're not. You don't. That's why I was like, they needed someone.
The motivation was just terrible. Like,
the
it
motivation
really was
bad. And you know, this is where we can talk about the white truck because I think this is a good point. Okay. So we were. We were loving this drama. We really were. And then I forget what episode it was. It was episode maybe like 12. I don't remember. Where we were introduced to a white truck of doom. And it was to the point where I posted like an Instagram story about this because it was wild. So Yoo-ra wants to kill Ji-won. So Ji-won is just parked at a stoplight on a deserted street. Just
but
chilling.
Wait, who does she hire to kill Ji-won?
Oh.
Suman's dad.
Suman's dad.
And her mom. And Ji-won's mom.
Who could find a white truck, a white dump truck somewhere.
Because mm-hmm.
It has to be a white truck.
It does.
So Ji-won's just like chilling at a stoplight. Just no big deal. And this truck like comes racing towards her. She has a good 5 minutes.
I said she could have gone to Starbucks and gotten a latte.
She could have gone to Starbucks and gotten a latte and been back and still got hit by that white truck. It took forever for that white truck to get to her. And then, out of nowhere...
She just sits there staring at it.
Staring at it. And then, out of nowhere, Ji-hyuk comes flying in front of her. And the best part is, I want to know who decided to put this in.
Did I send you the behind-the-scenes reel of it?
I know.
Where they're pushing the car? Like it?
Oh,
like,
stop. I need it.
Like, it wasn't even a slow-mo, like, effect. They were just pushing.
Oh my God.
I'm like a dolly.
He's just sitting there looking at her. Like
behind the wheel, slow motion, making eye contact. They have like 5 minutes of eye contact.
5 minutes of eye contact before the white truck hits Ji-hyuk's car. It is ludicrous. I mean, I was like, what is happening to this drama? What is happening? Like, I don't like this.
Like you message me, you're like, I was screaming, like laughing.
Screaming, laughing. It was not, you were not supposed to laugh at this point.
No, you were not.
I was crying, laughing. I replayed it and I was in tears because it was so dumb. It was so dumb. And that's kind of then, you know, I was like, this is Ural's fault. Like, God damn it. Like, they introduced her and now shit's just going crazy. And my Instagram was like blowing up after this. Like, tons of K-drama people I follow were like, what the fuck was that? Like, no one was into it because, again, the drama had been so smart. But I will say, thank God it got back on track.
It did.
Thank God. So they had a moment of pure insanity. I feel like they couldn't help themselves. It's like a K-drama, and they just could not help themselves.
I mean, most of Yura's storyline was insane, but like it didn't take up too much of it.
No.
But yeah, I have to see if I can find the reel.
You do.
It was a behind the scenes where it wasn't even like they did a slow-mo like effect on the film. They were pushing the car.
So weird. Because he's just sitting there. He doesn't even look like he's driving. He's just like, I'm going to make awkward eye contact with you.
He's like, you see me? I'm going to die for you right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
Do you see me?
You see me? I'm going to die.
Look at what a hero I am. I love you, Jiwon. It was just so like, oh my God. And so
the only thing that would have made him better is if he would have slow-mo like mouth Sarange.
Or like a finger heart. Just a finger heart as he's just the finger heart as he's passing. Slow-mo finger. Or he like draws a heart in the condensation.
Yeah, so he breathes on the window, draws a heart, and then is like makes the hand heart.
Hand heart. Sarange. Oh my God. He would have had time. This is
like hugely dating myself, but it makes me think of that scene in the very first Austin Powers where there is somebody in a warehouse with like a steamroller coming at him mm-hmm. and he's like screaming like, no, and then they flash the steamroller and the steamroller is rolling at like 0.5 miles an hour.
I know the scene. And yeah, I just remember all these people on Instagram. I mean, it was like taking over my Instagram feed that everyone is like, what happened to marry my husband? So I feel like they just needed craziness. I feel like someone suggested that and the director's like, sure. And then they were like, this doesn't fit, but we filmed it and we paid for the truck. So we're going to keep like paid for the truck rental. So we're just going to keep it in.
We already have the white truck. All right. We already have it. We're doing it.
It's going to happen.
We're doing it. She's going to sit under this viaduct and just chill with her latte as Suman's father comes at her.
Oh, God.
All right.
I mean, thank you, Marry My Husband, for the entertainment.
Yeah, seriously. But like that should not have been a comedy scene. And it was.
No.
So I'm going to go on record as saying that the final showdown between Suman and Minwon, with Minwon taking Jiwon's fate of falling through the glass table, was like one of the best comeuppances I've ever seen. Yep. Like first, they're both trying to kill each other. Like having completely turned on one another. And then Suman outsmarts Minwon. Like, hooray. But now it's her turn. So here's where I kind of was like a little disappointed. Like, what did you think of her comeuppance? Like, was it as satisfying for you? Because I wanted that kind of a showdown with Jiwon.
Yeah, the showdown with Jiwon was okay. I don't know how else I would have done it. I think that's the problem is I'm trying to think like how I would have done it. I think
she like played dead. You know what I mean? Like she.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, you filmed her. I mean, yeah, no. Yeah. And she gave Suman a chance to like talk a lot. And then she's like, I have you on camera.
Like give the villain speech. Right. Like and like the police know about this. Like in the police letting a civilian like put like, themselves smile. Out there as bait. Like, yeah.
Smile, you're on candid camera. Like that also dated me. Is that even a thing? Why did I say that? I'm such a dork. Anyway, yeah, and also like no one would agree to that. No one's like, yeah, sure, let her drug you and handcuff you. Like, that's not gonna
Right. Zip tie you. What if she didn't use zip ties? Like what if she
Yeah.
Like because then, you know, we get the flashback where she's learning how to fight and she learns how to break zip ties. What if she didn't tie her up with zip ties? Like, how did she know that she would use zip ties?
I actually thought that as I was watching the last scene. I was like, there's a lot of coincidences that this is working the way it is, that there are a million of things could have gone wrong and Ji-won would be dead. Like, really? Yeah, I mean, I do think it's hard because of the absolute awesomeness that was the Min-won Su-min fight. Because
that was
such
a great, like, it was such a fucking great scene.
When she pushed him and I realized what was going to happen, I gasped out loud because I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know there was a glass table there. And when they do that, the slow motion fall, and you're like, oh shit, he's going to die.
Like, that's
He's going to hit the glass table and he's going to die.
And feel bad because he had kidnapped Su-min and was going to murder her.
He was going to kill her.
Yeah.
He was going to kill her. He had already gone off the deep end. At this point, they were fully giving in to their villainy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I didn't mind Suman's end, I agree, though. I wanted maybe a little bit more from the showdown. I think I'd need to think longer about how I would have rewritten it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, like, we don't know the webtoon. Like, we are just going off of the drama. And so our opinions are based just on the drama. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible. It was just, you can't top that scene between her and Min-won. Like, that was just so good. I wanted Ji-won to have a little bit more, even though she did have agency, like, she planned the whole thing. It was a little bit too neatly tied up. But I do like that Su-min gets arrested rather than dies. I do like that.
Yeah, I didn't want her to die.
No.
It was cool having her in prison. I was like, that suits. Because in the end, Su-min was the real villain.
Yes.
More than Park Min-won.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
Which is crazy. Because in the first episode, I'm like, oh, Park Min-won is the real villain. You know what I mean? And then you realize, no, Su-min's been the real villain all along.
The whole time.
Because she's been plotting this since she was like 7 years old.
It's a long time.
Okay, so let's talk about that ending. We not only get to see Ji-hyuk and Ji-won get their happily ever after, but we flash forward way into their future with their wedding, becoming first-time parents with twins, and later a third child, leaving Auntie Hee-yun home to babysit so mom and dad can sneak out for their gorgeous cinematic ending in a museum admiring the panoramas of cherry blossom trees, I think, or some type of blossom tree.
They were cherry or peach blossoms.
As actual blossoms start to fall inside the room with them. So what did you think of the flash forward, and what or who do you wish was included but maybe wasn't?
So I thought this ending was stunning. I loved the visual of it, that very last scene. I loved getting to see them just be in a relationship. Like, first of all, she got to be a gorgeous bride. Like, that dress, good God. Like, absolutely gorgeous.
After the monstrosity of her...
of her first
other
one.
Wedding.
But like, I love getting to see them be like sleep deprived parents and, you know, babies pooping and not knowing what to do. Like, it was so funny. I love that Hee-yun and Eun-ho get together. Like, they were so cute. I would have liked to see more of them in the future.
Me too.
And I would have liked to see Ju-ran and our lawyer dude.
Oh, anyway.
Lee-suk Jun. Like, you knew there was some romance going on there, like, after she got divorced. Yeah, I wanted to see them get together. Like, you knew it happened, but I wanted to see it.
Nope, I second that. All of that.
I love a flash forward. Like, this drama definitely warranted a flash forward for our principal characters, because we got to see them go past that terrible day when she died and then actually have a future, right?
Yeah, I love a good, I've talked about this author on this podcast millions of times, Kristen Ashley, but she always does these grand epilogues that are like 10, 20 years in the
future. I love epilogues. I do.
But they're never like, they're always really far in the future. So you see that these couples now have like
a full life.
Not all of them have kids, but you can see that they've lived, either they have kids or they don't have kids, but they've lived a full life together. And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And that's what we got from this epilogue that I feel like we don't often get in K-dramas. And I really loved it.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. It was super fun. I just wanted to see all of the happily ever afters.
Me
basically.
Too.
Yeah.
I would have liked that too.
Do we care about the magic? Do we care? Like, I didn't question it while I was watching. Like, it just happened. But I was like, what? Like, Her dad seemed like a pretty decent dude in life, but like what gave him the power to give his murdered daughter a do-over? I don't know. And to send the guy who had a crush on her back to help her.
And give him a heart tattoo? Like what? That was really cute though, that he would always put a heart on her money.
Yes.
So then he's like, here's your money in the shape of like a tall redwood handsome man. Yeah, I mean, I don't really care how the magic works. I mean, good on you, taxi cab dad. Like, you know, I mean, I'm always going to like the idea that even in death, though, he's like looking out for his daughter whom he loves. You know what I mean? I mean, he maybe could have stepped in earlier. Not like the day she gets murdered.
If we're splitting hairs here, you know. Yeah.
He could have maybe pulled through a little earlier. But, you know, better late than never. So good for him. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I care about the magic.
I didn't. Yeah, I really didn't. I thought it was funny. Like it was random. It was like, we got. We need magic. Here's how it's going to happen.
Yeah. And I like how they had to figure it out and everything. So I was fine. I mean, it was such a fun drama. It truly was. I'm really glad I watched it. Because, you know, I mentioned it, but shout out to the kissing scenes.
Oh, so good. When she finally did get to climb the tree, like,
I didn't know he could kiss like that.
There was no fisheye kiss. It was just kiss.
And great kissing.
Yes.
Like, we know Park Min Young can kiss.
Like, were adults kissing.
Adults kissing. And this is the thing, is that since we've watched this drama, Amy and I send, like, clips of Na In Woo on like reality shows. We like send clips back and forth to each other on Instagram like all the time. And because he was on, I think, like 2 days, one night. Is that the name of that show?
I don't know what it's called.
Oh gosh, I don't remember. So there's tons of clips of him in like being him, and he's such a goof,
like
adorable goof. He does not take himself too seriously. He's willing to be silly, but silly in like still a really adorable way, not in like a cringy way.
And then he does that L spread, right?
Right.
Was it L where he was like wearing a dress at some point and it was like sexy as all hell. Oh,
amazing. And then he posts like guitar covers that he does where he's playing like
He just plays the guitar and wears like a Slipknot t-shirt.
Yeah. He's playing Slipknot, Black Sabbath. I'm like,
what can you not do?
The facets of this man are many, and I'm very into it. I love him very much.
And what is that man going to look like when he comes back from the military? Right.
Because, folks, he's gone, and he's enlisted, and his military glow-up is going to be incredible.
I don't even know what to do.
Brace yourselves, because he's going to come back with that ability to kiss, and he's going to blow us all away. Because he's going to be...
That was such a sexy first kiss. It really was.
And the thing, it's so funny because, like, again, in real life, he's just kind of like, he's always smiling. And then to see him play like the serious Ji-hyuk,
like very buttoned up, like,
yeah,
but not in a bad way. Like, it was good because he unwound around her. Like, we got like I messaged Megan about this. I'm like, this drama is like the best example of the romance beat of Fun and Games.
Oh, there's like two episodes of Fun and Games
where we just get to see them being a happy couple, like laying on the couch watching TV. Yeah. Like it was adorable.
Like a whole Fun and Games montage that lasted a long time, like playing with this cat. I mean, just the whole thing. Oh, the cat.
And then the ex-fiance came back and ruined it. But, you know, whatever.
She ruined everything. But yeah, I mean, it was just a delightful, it really, once it got back on track after the White Truck of Doom, because I was worried. I was like, oh, shit, Amy. Because I was like, I remember I messaged him, like, tell me when you finish this episode. And of course, you did, because you knew exactly why I wanted to.
Yes.
So as soon as it got back on track, because it did, very quickly, thank God. And even so, you know what, that White Truck scene gave me a lot to laugh about. So
it did. And then we got one of my favorite, like, tropes is the wounded hero, and she got to take care of him when he came home from the hospital.
That's
my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't die.
No, he didn't die.
He was pretty banged up.
You die from that, from driving that slow,
stop. Stop.
And waving and making a finger heart, like, Oh my God, the edits I want to do to that scene. So
me too.
Much.
Well, if you can find the behind the scenes, let me know. I need to see that. We'll put it in the show notes if we can find it, if we can figure out how to do that for a reel. But yeah, so we hope you enjoyed our chat about Marry My Husband. That went long.
It did go long. I want somebody, because I don't want to be the perpetrator of this, but if anybody wants to gaslight Leah into thinking that this is an incest drama between Kang Ji-won and her dad, I'm not going to stop you.
Soo-min, gaslight her.
I want to see Leah come to us being like, is there incest in this and you didn't tell me?
I love how both of us were like, well, that's how we could have gotten Leah to watch it. Like,
as we start talking about me thinking it's the dad. Yeah. Oh, shit.
That's what we should have done. It's okay. So we did, for our Patreon snack, we talked about second lead couples we liked. And she talked about the second lead couple from this Taiwanese BL called Kiseki or Dear to Me. And I watched it. I'm talking in like 2 days. It was great. It's on Viki if anyone wants to watch it. It was very delightful. I mean, very BL gangster. I mean, these guys are like gangster.
I love that it's always gangsters.
They're always gangsters. And they're like, the fighting is so bad. The fighting is so bad, but it doesn't matter because the romances, there's two couples. They're fantastic. So
awesome.
Thanks for that recommendation. But anyway, all right. Well, thank you for listening. We hope you had fun because we did.
Yes. And tell us what you thought of Marry My Husband. And we'll be back next week.
All right. See you then.
Annyeong.
Kamsahamnida. Thank you for listening to Afternoon of Delight. Where can you find us outside the pod? Head on over to afternoonofdelight.com. That's afternoonofdelight.com. You'll find links to all our social media, our book recs, K-pop and K-skincare recs, and if you want even more Afternoon of Delight, because really who doesn't, you can join our Patreon, where you can choose the patron level that's right for you. Join in daily K-drama conversations, listen to bonus podcast episodes just for patrons, and participate in our monthly live K-drama support group via Zoom. We can't wait for you to be a part of the community. Until next time, 안녕!